The knife snapped in two. Sam swore violently and began yanking on the grate cover again. "Come on," he whispered, more to himself than to her. "Come on." The water was around her waist now, and over her chest a moment after that. Rain continued streaming in through the grate, blinding her senses. "Sam," she said.
"I'm trying."
"Sam," she repeated.
"No,"
he spat, hearing her tone.
"No."
He began screaming for help then. Selena pressed her face to one of the holes in the grate. Help wasn't going to come. Not fast enough. She'd never given much thought to how she'd die, but drowning somehow felt fitting. It was a river in her native country of Terrasen that had almost claimed her life 9 years ago. And now it seemed that whatever bargain she'd struck with the gods that night was finally over. The water would have her, one way or another, no matter how long it took.
"Please,"
Sam begged, as he beat and yanked on the grate, then tried to wedge another dagger under the lid.
"Please don't."
She knew he was speaking to her. The water hit her neck.
"Please,"
Sam moaned, his fingers now touching hers. She'd have one last breath, her last words.
"Take my body home to Terrasen, Sam," she whispered,
and with a gasping breath, she went under.
Chapter 8
"Breathe,"
someone was roaring as they pounded on her chest.
"Breathe!"
And just like that, her body seized, and water rushed out of her. She vomited onto the cobblestones, coughing so hard she convulsed.
"Oh, gods,"
Sam moaned. Through her streaming eyes, she found him kneeling beside her, his head hung between his shoulders as he braced his palms on his knees. Behind him, two women were exchanging relieved yet confused expressions. One of them held a crowbar. Beside her lay the grate cover, and around them spilled water from the sewer. She vomited again. She took three baths in a row and ate food only with the intention of vomiting it up to clear out any trace of the vile liquid inside her. She plunged her torn, aching hands into a vat of hard liquor, biting down her scream but savoring the disinfectant burning through whatever had been in that water. Once that proved calming to her repulsion, she ordered her bathtub filled with the same liquor and submerged herself in it too. She'd never feel clean again. Even after her fourth bath, which had been immediately after her liquor bath, she felt like grime coated every part of her. Aerobin had cooed and fussed, but she'd ordered him out. She ordered everyone out. She'd take another two baths in the morning, she promised herself, as she climbed into bed. There was a knock on her door, and she almost barked at the person to go away. But Sam's head popped in. The clock read past 12, but his eyes were still alert.
"You're awake," he said,
slipping inside without so much as a nod of permission from her. Not that he needed it. He'd saved her life. She was in his eternal debt. On the way home, he'd told her that after Lysandra's bidding rehearsal, he'd gone to Donneville's house to see if she needed any help. But when he got there, the house was quiet, except for the guards who kept sniggering about something that had happened. He'd been searching the surrounding streets for any sign of her when he heard her screaming. She looked at him from where she lay in bed.
"What do you want?"
Not the most gracious words to someone who had saved her life. But hell, she was supposed to be better than him. How could she say she was the best when she'd needed Sam to rescue her? The thought made her want to hit him. He just smiled slightly.
"I wanted to see if you were finally done with all the washing. There's no hot water left." She frowned.
"Don't expect me to apologize for that."
"Do I ever expect you to apologize for anything?"
In the candlelight, the lovely panes of his face seemed velvet smooth and inviting. "You could have let me die," she mused. "I'm surprised you weren't dancing with glee over the grate." He let out a low laugh that traveled along her limbs, warming her.
"No one deserves that sort of death, Selena. Not even you." And besides, I thought we were beyond that. She swallowed hard, but was unable to break his gaze.
Thank you for saving me.
His brows rose. She'd said it once on their way back, but it had been a quick, breathless string of words. This time it was different. Though her fingers ached, especially her broken nails, she reached for his hand.
And I'm sorry.
She made herself look at him, even as his features crossed into incredulity. I'm sorry for involving you in what happened in Skulls Bay, and for what Aerobin did to you because of it.
Ah,
he said, as if he somehow understood some great puzzle. He examined their linked hands, and she quickly let go. The silence was suddenly too charged, his face too beautiful in the light. She lifted her chin and found him looking at the scar along her neck. The narrow ridge would fade, someday.
Her name was Ansel, she said, her throat tightening. She was my friend.
Sam slowly sat on the bed, and then the whole story came out. Sam only asked questions when he needed clarification. The clock chimed one by the time she finished telling him about the final arrow she'd fired at Ansel, and how, even with her heart breaking, she'd given her friend an extra minute before releasing what would have been a killing shot. When she stopped speaking, Sam's eyes were bright with sorrow and wonder.
So, that was my summer, she said with a shrug.
A grand adventure for Selena Sardothian, isn't it? But he merely reached out and ran his fingers down the scar on her neck, as if he could somehow erase the wound.
I'm sorry,
he said, and she knew he meant it.
So am I,
she murmured. She shifted, suddenly aware of how little her nightgown concealed. As if he'd noticed, too, his hand dropped from her neck and he cleared his throat.
Well, she said, I suppose our mission just got a little more complicated.
Oh, and why is that?
She shook off the blush his touch had brought to her face and gave him a slow, wicked smile. Philip had no idea who he'd tried to dispatch, or of the world of pain that was headed his way. You didn't try to drown Otterlin's assassin in a sewer and get away with it. Not in 1,000 lifetimes.
Because, she said, my list of people to kill is now one person longer.
Chapter 9. She slept until noon, took the two baths she'd promised herself, and then went to Aerobin's study. He was nursing a cup of tea as she opened the door.
I'm surprised to see you out of the bathtub, he said.
Telling Sam the story about her month in the Red Desert had reminded her of why she'd wanted so badly to come home this summer, and of what she had accomplished. She had no reason now to tiptoe around Aerobin, not after what he'd done and what she'd been through. So Selena merely smiled at the King of the Assassins as she held open the door for the servants outside. They carried in a heavy trunk, then another, and another.
Do I dare ask?
Aerobin massaged his temples. The servants hurried out, and Selena shut the door behind them. Without a word, she opened the lids of the trunks. Gold shone in the noontime sun. She turned to Aerobin, clinging to the memory of what it had felt like to sit on the roof after the party. His face was unreadable.
I think this covers my debt, she said, forcing herself to smile. And then some.
Aerobin remained seated. She swallowed, suddenly feeling sick.
Why had she thought this was a good idea? I want to keep working with you, she said carefully.
He'd looked at her like this before, on the night he'd beaten her. But you don't own me anymore. His silver eyes flicked to the trunks, then to her. In a moment of silence that lasted forever, she stood still as he took her in. Then he smiled, a bit ruefully.
Can you blame me for hoping that this day would never come?
She almost sagged with relief.
I mean it. I want to keep working with you.
She knew in that moment that she couldn't tell him about the apartment and that she was moving out. Not right now. Small steps. Today, the debt.
Perhaps in a few weeks she could mention that she was leaving. Perhaps he wouldn't even care that she was getting her own home.
"And I'll always be happy to work with you," he said,
but remained seated. He took a sip from his tea.
"Do I want to know where that money came from?"
She became aware of the scar on her neck as she said, "The Mute Master. Payment for saving his life." Aerobin picked up the morning paper.
"Well, allow me to extend my congratulations."
He looked at her over the top of the paper.
"You're now a free woman."
She tried not to smile. Perhaps she wasn't free, in the entire sense of the word. But at least he wouldn't be able to wield the debt against her anymore. That would suffice for now.
"Good luck with Donoval tomorrow night," he added. "Let me know if you need any help."
"As long as you don't charge me for it." He didn't return her smile and set down the paper.
"I would never do that to you."
Something like hurt flickered in his eyes. Fighting her sudden desire to apologize, she left his study without another word. The walk back to her bedroom was long. She'd expected to crow with glee when she gave him the money, expected to strut around the keep. But seeing the way he'd looked at her made all that gold feel cheap.
A glorious start to her new future.
Though Selena never wanted to set foot in the vile sewer again, she found herself back there that afternoon. There was still a river flowing through the tunnel, but the narrow walkway alongside it was dry, even with the rain shower that was now falling on the street above them. An hour before, Sam had just showed up at her bedroom, dressed and ready to spy on Donoval's house. Now he crept behind her, saying nothing as they approached the iron door she remembered all too well. She set down her torch beside the door and ran her hands along the worn, rusty surface.
"We'll have to get in this way tomorrow," she said,
her voice barely audible above the gurgle of the sewer river. "The front of the house is too well guarded now." Sam traced a finger through the groove between the door and the threshold.
"Aside from finding a way to haul a battering ram down here, I don't think we're getting through."
She shot him a dark look.
"You could try knocking."
Sam laughed under his breath.
"I'm sure the guards would appreciate that. Maybe they'd invite me in for an ale, too. That is, after they finished pumping my gut full of arrows."
He patted the firm plane of his stomach. He was wearing the suit Aerobin had forced him to buy, and she tried not to look too closely at how well it displayed his form.
"So we can't get in this door,"
she murmured, sliding her hand along it again.
"Unless we figure out when the servants dump the trash."
"Unreliable,"
he countered, still studying the door.
"The servants might empty the trash whenever they feel like it."
She swore and glanced about the sewer. What a horrible place to have almost died. She certainly hoped that she'd run into Philip tomorrow. That arrogant ass wouldn't see what was coming until she was right in front of him. He hadn't even recognized her from the party the other night. She smiled slowly. What better way to get back at Philip than to break in through the very door he'd revealed to her?
"Then one of us will just have to sit out here for a few hours," she whispered, still staring at the door. "With the landing outside the door, the servants need to take a few steps to reach the water."
Selena's smile grew.
"And I'm sure that if they're lugging a bunch of trash, they probably won't think to look behind them."
Sam's teeth flashed in the torchlight as he smiled.
"And they'll be preoccupied long enough for someone to slip in and find a good hiding spot in the cellar to wait out the rest of the time until 7:30.
"What a surprise they'll have tomorrow when they find their cellar door unlocked."
"I think that'll be the least of their surprises tomorrow."
She picked up her torch.
"It certainly will be."
He followed her back down the sewer walkway. They'd found a grate in a shadowy alley, far enough away from the house that no one would suspect them. Unfortunately, it meant a long walk back through the sewers.
"I heard you paid off Aerobin this morning,"
he said, his eyes on the dark stones beneath their feet. He still kept his voice soft.
How does it feel to be free?
She glanced at him sidelong.
Not the way I thought it would.
I'm surprised he accepted the money without a fight.
She didn't say anything.
In the dim light, Sam took a ragged breath.
I think I might leave,
he whispered.
She almost tripped.
Leave?
He wouldn't look at her.
I'm going down to Ilwe, to Banjali, to be precise.
For a mission?
It was common for Aerobin to send them all over the continent.
But the way Sam was speaking felt different.
Forever,
he said.
Why? Her voice sounded a little shrill in her ears. He faced her.
What do I have to tie me here?
Aerobin already mentioned that it might be useful to firmly establish ourselves in the south, too.
Aerobin,
she seethed, fighting to keep her voice to a whisper.
You talked to Aerobin about this?
Sam gave her a half shrug.
Casually. It's not official.
But Banjali is 1,000 miles away.
Yes, but Rifthold belongs to you and Aerobin. I'll always be an alternative.
I'd rather be an alternative in Rifthold than ruler of the assassins in Banjali.
She hated that she had to keep her voice so soft. She was going to splatter someone against a wall. She was going to rip down the sewer with her bare hands.
I'm leaving at the end of the month,
he said,
still calm.
That's 2 weeks away!
Do I have any reason why I should stay here?
Yes!
She exclaimed as loudly as she could, while still maintaining a hushed tone.
Yes, you do!
He didn't reply.
You can't go.
Give me a reason why I shouldn't.
Because what was the point in anything if you just disappear forever?
She hissed, splaying her arms.
The point in what, Selena?
How could he be so calm when she was so frantic? The point in Skull's Bay? And the point in getting me that music? And the point in telling Aerobin that you'd forgive him if he never hurt me again?
You said you didn't care what I thought, or what I did, or if I died, if I'm not mistaken.
I lied! And you know I lied, you stupid bastard!
He laughed quietly.
You want to know how I spent this summer?
She went still. He ran a hand through his brown hair.
I spent every single day fighting the urge to slit Aerobin's throat. And he knew I wanted to kill him.
I'll kill you!
Sam had screamed at Aerobin.
The moment I woke up after he beat me, I realized I had to leave. Because I was going to kill him if I didn't. But I couldn't.
He studied her face.
Not until you came back. Not until I knew you were all right. Until I saw that you were safe.
Breathing became very, very hard.
He knew that, too.
Sam went on.
So he decided to exploit it. He didn't recommend me for missions. Instead, he made me help Lysandra and Clarice. He made me escort them around the city on picnics and to parties. It became a game between the two of us. How much of his horseshit I could take before I snapped. But we both knew he'd always have the winning hand. He'd always have you. Still, I spent every day this summer hoping you'd come back in one piece. More than that, I hoped you'd come back and take revenge for what he'd done to you.
But she hadn't. She'd come back and let Aerobin shower her with gifts.
And now that you're fine, Selena, now that you've paid off your debt, I can't stay in Rifthold. Not after all the things he's done to us.
She knew it was selfish and horrible, but she whispered,
Please don't go.
He let out an uneven breath.
You'll be fine without me. You always have been.
Maybe once, but not now.
How can I convince you to stay?
You can't.
She threw down the torch.
Do you want me to beg? Is that it?
No, never.
Then tell me!
What more can I say?
He exploded, his whisper rough and harsh.
I've already told you everything. I've already told you that if I stay here, if I have to live with Aerobin, I'll snap his damned neck.
But why? Why can't you let it go?
He grabbed her shoulders and shook her.
Because I love you,
Her mouth fell open.
I love you, he repeated, shaking her again. I have for years. And he hurt you and made me watch, because he's always known how I felt, too. But if I ask you to pick, you'd choose Erebin, and I can't take it.
The only sounds were their breathing, an uneven beat against the rushing of the sewer river.
You're a damned idiot, she breathed.
You're a moron and an ass and a damned idiot. He looked like she had hit him. But she went on and grasped both sides of his face. Because I'd pick you. And then she kissed him. Chapter 10. She'd never kissed anyone. And as her lips met his, and he wrapped his arms around her waist, pulling her close against him, she honestly had no idea why she'd waited so long. His mouth was warm and soft, his body wondrously solid against hers, his hair silken as she threaded her fingers through it. Still, she let him guide her, forced herself to remember to breathe as he eased her lips apart with his own. When she felt the brush of his tongue against hers, she was so full of lightning she thought she might die from the rush of it. She wanted more. She wanted all of him. She couldn't hold him tight enough, kiss him fast enough. A growl rumbled in the back of his throat. So full of need, she felt it in her core. Lower than that, actually. She pushed him against the wall, and his hands roamed all over her back, her sides, her hips. She wanted to bask in the feeling, wanted to rip off her suit so she could feel his calloused hands against her bare skin. The intensity of that desire swept her away. She didn't give a damn about the sewers, or Donoval, or Philip, or Erebin. Sam's lips left her mouth to travel along her neck. They grazed a spot beneath her ear, and her breath hitched. No, she didn't give a damn about anything right now. It was nighttime when they left the sewers, hair disheveled and mouth swollen. He wouldn't let go of her hand during the long walk back to the keep. And when they got there, she ordered the servants to send dinner for them to her room. Though they stayed up long into the night, doing a minimal amount of talking, their clothes remained on. Enough had happened today to change her life, and she was in no particular mood to alter yet another major thing. But what had happened in the sewer? Selena lay awake that night, long after Sam had left her room, staring at nothing. He loved her. For years. And he'd endured so much for her sake. For the life of her, she couldn't understand why. She'd been nothing but horrible to him, and had repaid any kindness on his part with a sneer. And what she felt for him? She hadn't been in love with him for years. Until Skull's Bay, she wouldn't have minded killing him. But now? No, she couldn't think about this now. And she couldn't think about it tomorrow, either. Because tomorrow, they'd infiltrate Donoval's house. It was still risky, but the payoff. She couldn't turn down that money. Not now that she would be supporting herself. And she wouldn't let the bastard Donoval get away with his slave trade agreement, or blackmailing those who dared to stand against it. She just prayed Sam wouldn't get hurt. In the silence of her bedroom, she swore an oath to the moonlight that if Sam were hurt, no force in the world would hold her back from slaughtering everyone responsible. After lunch the next afternoon, Selena waited in the shadows beside the sewer door to the cellar. A ways down the tunnel, Sam also waited, his black suit making him almost invisible in the darkness. With the household lunch just ending, it was a good bet that Selena would soon have her best chance to slip inside. She'd been waiting for an hour already, each noise whetting the edge she'd been riding since dawn. She'd have to be quick and silent and ruthless. One mistake, one shout, or even a missing servant might ruin everything. A servant had to come down here to deposit the trash at some point soon. She pulled a little pocket watch out of her suit. Carefully, she lit a match to glance at the face. 2 o'clock.
She had 5 hours until she needed to creep into Donovan's study to await the 7:30 meeting. And she was willing to bet he wouldn't enter the study until then. A man like that would want to greet his guests at the door, to see the look on his partner's face as he led him through the opulent halls. Suddenly, she heard the first interior door to the sewers groan, and footsteps and grunts sounded. Her trained ear heard the noises of one servant. Female. Selena blew out the match. She pressed herself into the wall as the lock to the outer door snapped open, and the heavy door slid against the ground. She could hear no other footsteps, save for the woman who hauled a vat of garbage onto the landing. The servant was alone. The cellar above was empty, too. The woman, too preoccupied with depositing the metal pail of garbage, didn't think to look to the shadows beside the door. She didn't even pause as Selena slipped past her. Selena was through both doors, up the stairs, and into the cellar before she even heard the plop and splatter of the trash landing in the water. As Selena rushed toward the darkest corner of the vast, dimly lit cellar, she took in as many details as she could. Countless barrels of wine and shelves crammed full of food and goods from across Aurelia. One staircase leading up. No other servants to be heard, save for somewhere above her. The kitchen, probably. The outer door slammed shut, the lock sounding. But Selena was already crouched behind a giant keg of wine. The interior door also shut and locked. Selena slid on the smooth black mask she'd brought with her, tossing the hood of her cloak over her hair. The sound of footsteps and light panting. And then the servant reappeared at the top of the sewer stairs, empty garbage pail creaking as it swung from one hand. She walked right by, humming to herself as she mounted the stairs that led toward the kitchen. Selena loosed a breath when the woman's footsteps faded, then grinned to herself. If Philip had been smart, he would have slit her throat in the sewer that night. Perhaps when she killed him, she'd let him know exactly how she got into the house. When she was absolutely certain that the servant wasn't returning with a second pail of garbage, Selena hurried toward the small set of steps that led down to the sewer. Quick as a jackrabbit in the red desert, she unlocked the first door, crept through, then unlocked the second. Sam wouldn't sneak in until right before the meeting, or someone else might come down and discover him preparing the cellar for the fire that would serve as a distraction. And if someone found the two unlocked doors before then, it could just be blamed on the servant who dumped the trash. Selena carefully shut both doors, making sure the locks remained disabled, and then returned to her place in the shadows of the cellar's vast wine collection. Then, she waited. At 7, she left the cellar before Sam could arrive with his torches and oil. The ungodly amount of alcohol stocked inside would do the rest. She just hoped he made it out before the fire blew the cellar to bits. She needed to be upstairs and hidden before that happened, and before the exchange was made. Once the fire started a few minutes after 7:30, some of the guards would be called downstairs immediately, leaving Donovan and his partner with far fewer men to protect them. The servants were eating their evening meal, and from the laughter inside the sub-level kitchen, none of them seemed aware of the deal that was to occur 3 flights above them. Selena crept past the kitchen door. In her suit, cloak, and mask, she was a mere shadow on the pale stone walls. She held her breath the entire way up the servant's narrow spiral staircase. With her new suit, it was far easier to keep track of her weapons, and she slid a long dagger out of the hidden flap in her boot. She peered down the second-floor hallway. The wooden doors were all shut. No guards, no servants, no members of Donovan's household. She eased a foot onto the wooden floorboards. Where the hell were the guards? Swift and quiet as a cat, she was at the door to Donovan's study. No light shone from beneath the door. She saw no shadows of feet and heard no sound. The door was locked. A minor inconvenience. She sheathed her dagger and pulled out 2 narrow bits of metal, wedging and jamming them into the lock until... click.
Then she was inside, door locked again, and she stared into the inky black of the interior. Frowning, Selena fished the pocket watch out of her suit. She lit a match. She still had enough time to look around. Selena flicked out the match and rushed to the curtains, shutting them tight against the night outside. Rain still plinked faintly against the covered windows. She moved to the massive oak desk in the center of the room and lit the oil lamp atop it, dimming it until only a faint blue flame gave off a flicker of light. She shuffled through the papers on the desk. Newspapers, casual letters, receipts, the household expenses. She opened every drawer in the desk. More of the same. Where were those documents? Swallowing her violent curse, Selena put a fist to her mouth. She turned in place. An armchair, an armoire, a hutch. She searched the hutch and armoire, but they had nothing. Just empty papers and ink. Her ears strained for any sound of approaching guards. She scanned the books on the bookcase, tapping her fingers across the spines, trying to hear if any were hollowed out, trying to hear if... A floorboard creaked beneath her feet. She was down on her knees in an instant, rapping on the dark, polished wood. She knocked all around the area until she found a hollow sound. Carefully, heart hammering, she dug her dagger between the floorboards and wedged it upward. Paper stared back at her. She pulled them out, replaced the floorboard, and was back at the desk a moment later, spreading the papers before her. She'd only glance at them, just to be sure she had the right documents. Her hands trembled as she flipped through the papers, one after another. Maps with red marks in random places. Charts with numbers. And names. List after list of names and locations. Cities, towns, forests, mountains, all in Melisande. These weren't just Melisanders opposed to slavery. These were locations for planned safe houses to smuggle slaves to freedom. This was enough information to get all these people executed or enslaved themselves. And Donnival, that wretched bastard, was going to use this information to force those people to support the slave trade, or be turned over to the king. Selena gathered up the documents. She'd never let Donnival get away with this. Never. She took a step toward the trick floorboard. Then she heard the voices. Chapter 11. She had the lamp off and the curtains opened in a heartbeat, swearing silently as she tucked the documents into her suit and hid in the armoire. It would only take a few moments before Donnival and his partner found that the documents were missing. But that was all she needed. She just had to get them in here, away from the guards, long enough to take them both down. The fire would start in the cellar any minute now, hopefully distracting many of the other guards, and hopefully happening before Donnival noticed the papers were gone. She left the armoire door open a crack, peering out. The study door unlocked and then swung open. Brandy? Donnival was saying to the cloaked and hooded man who trailed in behind him.
No,
the man said, removing his hood. He was of average height and plain, his only notable features his sun-kissed face and high cheekbones. Who was he?
Eager to get it over with,
Donnival chuckled, but there was a hitch to his voice.
You could say that,
the man replied coolly. He looked about the room, and Selena didn't dare move or breathe as his blue eyes passed over the armoire.
My partners know to start looking for me in 30 minutes. I'll have you out in 10. I have to be at the theater tonight anyway. There's a young lady I'm particularly keen to see,
Donnival said with a businessman's charm.
I take it that your associates are prepared to act quickly and give me a response by dawn. They are, but show me your documents first. I need to see what you're offering.
Of course, Donnival said, drinking from the glass of brandy that he'd poured for himself. Selena's hands became slick, and her face turned sweaty under the mask.
Do you live here, or are you visiting? When the man didn't respond, Donoval said with a grin,
Either way, I hoped you've stopped by Madame Clarisse's establishment. I've never seen such fine girls in all my life.
The man gave Donoval a distinctly displeased stare. Had Selena not been here to kill them, she might have liked the stranger.
Not one for chit-chat, Donoval teased, setting down the brandy and walking toward the floorboard. From the slight tremble in Donoval's hands, she could tell that his talking was all nervous babble.
How had such a man come into contact with such incredibly delicate and important information? Donoval knelt before the loose floorboard and pulled it up. He swore. Selena flicked the sword out of the hidden compartment in her suit and moved. She was out of the closet before they even looked at her. And Donoval died a heartbeat after that. His blood sprayed from the spine-severing wound she gave him through the back of his neck, and the other man let out a shout. She whirled toward him, the sword flicking blood. An explosion rocked the house, so strong that she lost her footing. What in hell had Sam detonated down there? That was all the man needed. He was out the study door. His speed was admirable. He moved like someone used to a lifetime of running. She was through the threshold almost instantly. Smoke was already rising from the stairs. She turned left after the man, only to run into Philip, the bodyguard. She rebounded away as he swiped with a sword for her face. Behind him, the man was still running, and he glanced over his shoulder once before he sprinted down the stairs.
What have you done?
Philip spat, noticing the blood on her blade. He didn't need to see whose face was under the mask to identify her. He must have recognized the suit. She deployed the sword in her other arm, too.
Get the hell out of my way.
The mask made her words low and gravelly. The voice of a demon, not a young woman. She slashed the swords in front of her, a deadly whine coming off of them.
I'm going to rip you limb from limb,
Philip growled.
Just try it.
Philip's face twisted in rage as he launched himself at her. She took the first blow on her left blade, her arm aching at the impact, and Philip barely moved away fast enough to avoid her punching the right blade straight through his gut. She struck again, a clever thrust toward her ribs, but she blocked him. He pressed both of her blades. Up close, she could see his weapon was of impressive quality.
I wanted to make this last, Selena hissed.
But I think it's going to be quick.
Far cleaner than the death you tried to give me.
Philip shoved her back with a roar.
You have no idea what you've just done.
She swung her swords in front of her again.
I know exactly what I've just done. And I know exactly what I'm about to do.
Philip charged, but the hallway was too narrow and his blow too undisciplined. She got past his guard instantly. His blood soaked her gloved hand. Her sword whined against bone as she whipped it out again. Philip's eyes went wide, and he staggered back, clutching the slender wound that went up through his ribs and into his heart.
Fool,
he whispered, slumping to the ground.
Did Liefer hire you?
She didn't say anything as he struggled for breath, blood bubbling from his lips.
Donoval,
Philip rasped.
Loved his country.
He took a wet breath, hate and grief mingling in his eyes.
You don't know anything.
He was dead a moment later.
Maybe, she said as she looked down at his body. But I knew enough just then.
It had taken less than 2 minutes. That was it. She knocked out two guards as she catapulted down the stairs of the burning house and out the front door, disarming another three when she vaulted over the iron fence and into the streets of the capital.
Where in hell had the man gone?
There were no alleys from the house to the river, so he hadn't gone left, which meant he had gone either straight through the alley ahead of her or to the right. He wouldn't have gone to the right. That was the main avenue of the city, where the wealthy lived. She took the alley straight ahead. She sprinted so fast she could hardly breathe,
snapping her swords back into their hidden compartment. No one noticed her. Most people were too busy rushing toward the flames now licking the sky above Donovan's house. What had happened to Sam? She spotted the man then, sprinting down an alley that led toward the Avery. She almost missed him, because he was around the corner and gone the next instant. He'd mentioned his partners. Was he headed to them now? Would he be that foolish? She splashed through puddles and leapt over trash and grabbed the wall of a building as she hauled herself around the corner, right into a dead end. The man was trying to scale the large brick wall at the other end. The buildings surrounding them had no doors, and no windows low enough for him to reach. Selena popped out both of her swords as she slowed to a stalking gait. The man made one last leap for the top of the wall, but couldn't reach. He fell hard against the cobblestone streets. Sprawled on the ground, he twisted toward her. His eyes were bright as he pulled out a pile of papers from his worn jacket. What sort of documents had he been bringing to Donovan? Their official business contract?
Go to hell,
he spat, and a match flared. The papers were instantly alight, and he threw them to the ground. So fast she could hardly see it, he grabbed a vial from his pocket and swallowed the contents. She lunged toward him, but she was too late. By the time she grabbed him, he was dead. Even with his eyes closed, the rage remained on his face. He was gone. Irrevocably gone. But for what? Some business deal gone sour? Easing him to the ground, she jumped swiftly to her feet. She stomped on the papers, extinguishing the flame in seconds. But half of them had already burned, leaving only scraps. In the moonlight, she knelt on the damp cobblestones and picked up the remnants of the documents he'd been so willing to die for. It wasn't merely a trade agreement. Like the papers she had in her pocket, these contained names and numbers and locations of safe houses. But these were in Otterlin, even stretching as far north as the border with Terrison. She whipped her head to the body. It didn't make any sense. Why kill himself to keep this information secret when he'd planned to share it with Donovan and use it for his own profit? Heaviness rushed through her veins.
You know nothing,
Philip had said. Somehow, it suddenly felt very true. How much had Arobin known? Philip's words sounded in her ears again and again. It didn't add up. Something was wrong. Something was off. No one had told her these documents would be this extensive, this damning to the people they listed. Her hands shaking, she shifted his body into a sitting position so he wouldn't be face first on the filthy ground. Why had he sacrificed himself to keep this information safe? Noble or not, foolish or not, she couldn't let it go. She straightened his coat. Then she picked up his half-destroyed documents, lit a match, and let them burn until they were nothing but ashes. It was the only thing she had to offer. She found Sam slumped against the wall of another alley. She rushed to him, where he knelt with a hand over his chest, panting heavily. "Are you hurt?" she demanded, scanning the alley for any sign of guards. An orange glow spread behind them. She hoped the servants had gotten out of Donovan's house in time.
"I'm fine,"
Sam rasped. But in the moonlight, she could see the gash on his arm.
"The guard spotted me in the cellar and shot at me."
He grabbed at the breast of his suit.
"One of them hit me right in the heart. I thought I was dead,
but the arrow clattered right out.
It didn't even touch my skin."
He peeled open the gash in the front of his suit, and a glimmer of iridescence sparkled.
"Spider silk,"
he murmured, his eyes wide. Selena smiled grimly and pulled off the mask from her face.
"No wonder this damned suit was so expensive,"
Sam said, letting out a breathy laugh. She didn't feel the need to tell him the truth. He searched her face.
"It's done, then?"
She leaned down to kiss him, a swift brush of her mouth against his. "It's done," she said onto his lips. Chapter 12.
The rain clouds had vanished, and the sun was rising when Selena strode into Aerobin's study and stopped in front of his desk. Wesley, Aerobin's bodyguard, didn't even try to stop her. He just shut the study doors behind her before resuming his sentry position in the hall outside.
Donoval's partner burned his own documents before I could see them, she said to Aerobin by way of greeting,
and then poisoned himself. She'd slipped Donoval's documents under his bedroom door last night, but had decided to wait to explain everything to him until that morning. Aerobin looked up from his ledger. His face was blank.
Was that before or after you torched Donoval's house?
She crossed her arms.
Does it make a difference?
Aerobin looked at the window and the clear sky beyond.
I sent the documents to Leifer this morning.
Did you look through them? She snorted.
Of course I did. Right in between killing Donoval and fighting my way out of his house, I found the time to sit down for a cup of tea and read them.
Aerobin still wasn't smiling.
I've never seen you leave such a mess in your wake.
At least people will think Donoval died in the fire.
Aerobin slammed his hands onto his desk.
Without an identifiable body, how can anyone be sure he's dead?
She refused to flinch, refused to back down.
He's dead.
Aerobin's silver eyes hardened.
You won't be paid for this. I know for certain Leifer won't pay you. She wanted a body and both documents. You gave me one of the three.
She felt her nostrils flare.
That's fine. Bardengale's allies are safe now anyway, and the trade agreement isn't happening.
She couldn't mention that she hadn't even seen a trade agreement document among the papers. Not without revealing that she'd read the documents. Aerobin let out a low laugh.
You haven't figured it out yet, have you?
Selena's throat tightened. Aerobin leaned back in his chair.
Honestly, I expected more from you. All the years I spent training you, and you couldn't piece together what was happening right before your eyes.
Just spit it out, she growled.
There was no trade agreement,
Aerobin said, triumph lighting his silver eyes.
At least, not between Donoval and his source in Rifthold. The real meetings about the slave trade negotiations have been going on in the Glass Castle, between the king and Leifer. It was a key point of persuasion in convincing him to let them build their road.
She kept her face blank, kept herself from flinching. The man who poisoned himself. He hadn't been there to trade documents to sell out those opposed to slavery. He and Donoval had been working to...
Donoval loves his country,
Philip had said. Donoval had been working to set up a system of safe houses and form an alliance of people against slavery across the empire. Donoval, bad habits or not, had been working to help the slaves.
And she'd killed him.
Worse than that, she'd given the documents over to Bardengale, who didn't want to stop slavery at all.
No.
She wanted to profit from it and use her new road to do it. And she and Aerobin had concocted the perfect lie to get Selena to cooperate. Aerobin was still smiling.
Leifer has already seen to it that Donoval's documents are secured. If it'll ease your conscience, she said she won't give them to the king. Not yet. Not until she's had a chance to speak to the people on this list and persuade them to support her business endeavors. But if they don't, perhaps those documents will find their way into the Glass Castle after all.
Selena fought to keep from trembling.
Is this punishment for Skull's Bay?
Aerobin studied her.
While I might regret beating you, Selena, you did ruin a deal that would have been extremely profitable for us.
Us? Like she was part of this disgusting mess.
You might be free of me, but you shouldn't forget who I am. What I'm capable of.
As long as I live, she said,
I'll never forget that.
She turned on her heel, striding for the door.
but stopped. Yesterday, she said, I sold Casita to Leifer Bardengale.
She'd visited Bardengale's estate in the morning of the day she was set to infiltrate Donneville's house. The woman had been more than happy to purchase the Asterion horse. She hadn't once mentioned her former husband's impending death. And last night, after Selena had killed Donneville, she'd spent a while staring at the signature at the end of the transfer of ownership receipt, so stupidly relieved that Casita was going to a good woman like Bardengale.
And?
Aerobin asked.
Why should I care about your horse?
Selena looked at him long and hard.
Always power games. Always deceit and pain. The money is on its way to your vault at the bank.
He said nothing.
As of this moment, Sam's debt to you is paid, she said,
a shred of victory shining through her growing shame and misery.
From right now until forever, he's a free man.
Aerobin stared back, then shrugged.
I suppose that's a good thing.
She felt the final blow coming, and she knew she should run, but she stood like an idiot and listened as he said,
Because I spent all the money you gave me when I was at Lysandra's bidding last night. My vault feels a little empty because of it.
It took a moment for the words to sink in. The money she had sacrificed so much to get.
He'd used it to win Lysandra's bidding.
I'm moving out, she whispered. He just watched her, his cruel, clever mouth forming a slight smile.
I've purchased an apartment and I'm moving there. Today.
Aerobin's smile grew.
Do come back and visit us sometime, Selena.
She had to bite her lip to keep it from wobbling.
Why did you do it?
Aerobin shrugged again.
Why shouldn't I enjoy Lysandra after all these years of investing in her career? And why do you care what I do with my money? From what I've heard, you have Sam now. Both of you are free of me.
Of course he'd found out already. And of course he'd try to make this about her. Try to make it her fault. Why shower her with gifts only to do this? Why deceive her about Donneville and then torture her with it? Why had he saved her life 9 years ago just to treat her this way? He'd spent her money on a person he knew she hated. To belittle her. Months ago it would have worked. That sort of betrayal would have devastated her. It still hurt. But now, with Donneville and Philip and others dead by her hand, with those documents now in Bardengale's possession, and with Sam steadfastly at her side, Aerobin's petty, vicious parting shot had narrowly missed the mark.
Don't come looking for me for a good long while, she said,
because I might kill you if I see you before then, Aerobin.
He waved a hand at her.
I look forward to the fight.
She left. As she strode through his study doors, she almost slammed into the three tall men who were walking in. They all took one look at her face and then muttered apologies. She ignored them, and ignored Wesley's dark stare as she strode past him. Aerobin's business was his own. She had her own life now. Her boot heels clicked against the marble floor of the grand entrance. Someone yawned from across the space, and Selena found Lysandra leaning against the banister of the staircase. She was wearing a white silk nightgown that barely covered her more private areas.
You've probably already heard, but I went for a record price.
Lysandra purred, stretching out the beautiful lines of her body.
Thank you for that. Rest assured that your gold went a long, long way.
Selena froze and slowly turned. Lysandra smirked at her. Fast as lightning, Selena hurled a dagger. The blade embedded itself into the wooden railing a hair's breadth from Lysandra's head. Lysandra began screaming, but Selena just walked out of the front doors, across the lawn of the keep, and kept walking until the capital swallowed her up. Selena sat on the edge of her roof, looking out across the city. The convoy from Melisande had already left, taking the last of the rain clouds with them. Some of them wore black to mourn Donneville's death.
Leifer Bardengale had ridden Cassita, prancing down the main avenue. Unlike those in mourning colors, the lady had been dressed in saffron yellow and was smiling broadly. Of course, it was just because the King of Otterlin had agreed to give them the funds and resources to build their road. Selena had half a mind to go after her, to get those documents back and repay Bardengale for her deceit, and take back Cassita while she was at it, too. But she didn't. She'd been fooled and had lost. Badly. She didn't want to be a part of this tangled web. Not when Erebon had made it perfectly clear that she could never win. To distract her from that miserable thought, Selena had then spent the whole day sending servants between the keep and her apartment, fetching all the clothes and books and jewelry that now belonged to her and her alone. The late afternoon light shifted into a deep gold, setting all the green rooftops glowing.
I thought you might be up here,
Sam said, striding across the flat roof to where she sat atop the wall that lined the edge. He surveyed the city.
Some view. I can see why you decided to move.
She smiled slightly, turning to look at him over her shoulder. He came to stand behind her and reached out a tentative hand to run through her hair. She leaned into the touch.
I heard what he did, about both Donoval and Lysandra.
Sam murmured.
I never imagined he'd sink that low, or use your money like that. I'm sorry.
It was what I needed. She watched the city again. It was what I needed to make me tell him I was moving out. Sam gave a nod of approval.
I've just sort of left my belongings in your main room. Is that all right?
She nodded. We'll find space for it later. Sam fell silent.
So, we're free,
he said at last. She turned fully to look at him. His brown eyes were vivid.
I also heard that you paid off my debt,
he said, his voice strained.
You sold your Asterian horse to do it.
I had no choice. She pivoted from her spot on the roof and stood. I'd never leave you shackled to him while I walked away.
Selena.
He said her name like a caress, slipping a hand around her waist. He pressed his forehead against hers.
How can I ever repay you?
She closed her eyes. You don't have to. He brushed his lips against hers.
I love you.
He breathed against her mouth.
And from today onward, I want to never be separated from you. Wherever you go, I go. Even if that means going to hell itself. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Forever.
Selena put her arms around his neck and kissed him deeply, giving him her silent reply. Beyond them, the sun set over the capital, turning the world into crimson light and shadows. The Assassin and the Empire. After. Curled into the corner of a prison wagon, Selena Sardothian watched the splotches of shadows and light play on the wall. Trees, just beginning to shift into the rich hues of autumn, seemed to peer at her through the small, barred window. She rested her head against the musty wooden wall, listening to the creak of the wagon, the clink of the shackles around her wrists and ankles. The rumbling chatter and occasional laughter of the guards who had been escorting the wagon along its route for 2 days now. But while she was aware of it all, a deafening sort of silence had settled over her like a cloak. It shut out everything. She knew she was thirsty and hungry and that her fingers were numb with cold, but she couldn't feel it keenly. The wagon hit a rut, jostling her so hard that her head knocked into the wall. Even that pain felt distant. The freckles of light along the panels danced like falling snow. Like ash. Ash from a world burned into nothing, lying in ruins around her. She could taste the ash of that dead world on her chapped lips, settling on her leaden tongue. She preferred the silence. In the silence, she couldn't hear the worst question of all. Had she